You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
How do you know this?
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
Truth is, I am Iron Man.
Wherever I go, he goes.
When people ask you what happened to you, tell them the North remembers.
And here we go.
What's up, everyone? I'm Zach Williamson. This is the Cold Your Crab podcast. I'm here today with my co-hosts, Ross Cutsforth and Luke Goosens. Today, we're talking House of the Dragon, episode 9.
This is probably the best episode of the season yet. All the built-up tensions growing between Alicent and her dad, the tension between Aemon and Aegon, the tensions between the two families, the Hightars and Rhaenyra, they're all coming to a head now, and I'm excited.
I went back and looked at last episode, and never does Viserys explicitly say, make Aegon king, or even really come close to it. He says, unite the realm. He's like, against the coming darkness. And then he just keeps talking about a dream. And he says Aegon one time, I think. Fuck Alicent.
I think he said Aegon twice, but
maybe.
He's absolutely not talking about that little piece of shit.
No. Yeah.
And Aegon knew it too. He said, dude, if he wanted to name me, he would have done it in the past 20 years.
I feel like Alicent kind of knows it too, but she's already too far in to go back on thinking she's wrong.
See, I thought that too, but then I read an interview from the director and the writer, and they're saying that she genuinely believes it in that moment. That he thinks that Aegon is supposed to be king, and that's why she's...
In the coronation? She believes it in the coronation?
No, what Viserys was saying, she thinks what Viserys was saying to her is that Aegon should be king. She believes
it. I know, in that moment, she believes it, but then afterwards...
I think she's trying to give herself moral justification.
I don't think so.
Oh, I see what you guys are saying. You're saying as it's going down, she's like, this is...
In the moment, she doesn't believe it, and then her son not believing it kind of adds to it. And then also, what was that dude's name that got his dome smashed?
What, Beesbury?
Beesbury kind of adds to it. Or Beesbury was before her son not believing it. So she's kind of just like, wait, she's second-guessing herself from all these people not believing it.
Yeah, and did she see that they...
But then I think it kind of comes full circle with the coronation, and then she's just all in by the time the coronation happens.
Yeah, I think at that point, there's no turning back. People are... Lord Beesbury got killed. You're already in. Like, you've wrapped yourself into these game that all these men are making you do. And I love when Rhaenys was saying all that stuff to her. Just, you're literally a pawn looking for a window. That was such a good dialogue there.
I think that definitely opened her eyes a little bit too, just based on how she talked to her dad Otto after that.
That was a cool parallel, because that was literally the first... That scene was when he's even looking like he's wrapping up the note and all that. That was in the first episode too. There was that exact scene, and with her walking in when she's younger and talking to him. And this is showing where she's gotten to this point now, that she's standing up to this fool and telling it how it is in her, you know, in her way. And it was the exact same stuff, remade scene, but just with the older actress. I'll literally make a video and show you guys later, actually.
Bro, fuck Otto. Otto is such a slimy fuck. When he was like, you look like your mom in certain lights. Did you know that? It's like, shut up, you old...
What a fraud.
Fuck you. It's like, you're horny for your daughter right now. Is that what's happening? You're being really weird, man. It's like,
well, we don't know anything about his mother. Maybe his mother was, okay. Yeah, he's saying that she's beautiful, but maybe he's also saying that she was like a powerful woman.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah,
I definitely didn't take it as him hitting on her.
How I took it was he's just a very fucked up individual, and her talking back to him gave him a thrill. I think he got horny for her because of that. I was a little disgusted by that. I cringed hard. But
interesting take. I definitely did not have that same take, but
yeah, I did not see that.
That's how I interpreted it. Was that the wrong interpretation? Fuck.
I just felt like it was building off of what, it's not wrong, it's your take, but I just felt like it was building off what he said the last episode, that this is the first time I've seen you actually come in here and feel like you could go and do this kind of stuff. You could become this person. He said that to her in the last episode, I think it was, or when she stabbed Rhaenyra. So two episodes ago, she was saying, okay. And so this was another scene where showing she's actually becoming her own.
But in his mind, I'm saying he thinks he is.
After that too, he said, as
long term, I don't know if that'll play out. Yeah, dude. And whenever he does it, yeah, that way. Because shit might go down.
I don't think that he's really the one who's going to be controlling things. We'll see. What I do like is that it feels like that there's now two aspects of the Greens. There is this dude, Otto, and then her and her kids. And who knows which way the kids will swing. The kids may even then be their own factor in the Greens as this goes forward. But it feels they're not united, which is cool. It's even like a conflict in between them, which I think we'll probably see with the other side too as this goes forward.
Yeah, shit, dude. Especially with Aemon, it introduced a lot of strife between them.
Aemon's he's the coolest character of that group, I think.
For sure.
You like, yeah.
What is the beast beneath the boards mean?
So, okay, there's still a meaning that it could mean, and it probably means multiple things. But in this episode, I thought when she says beware the beast beneath the boards, she's talking about Rhaenys coming through the ground, fucking everyone up.
Oh, I thought it was alluding to Aemon in some way, because every time she says beware the beast beneath the boards, it goes to Aemon. Mm.
I don't
remember at the dinner she said beware the beast beneath the boards and it pans to Aemon, and then she said it again in this episode and the camera panned or
cut to him.
Cut to him.
Yeah, there could be multiple meanings. That's a good catch there too. There's definitely, yeah. I definitely think that this one has multiple meanings, and one of them was,
I don't know what it means. I just kind of noticed it. I thought you suck.
Okay, well, there's a book one that we still can't talk about because it's a spoiler and it possibly will happen next week.
Oh,
about what that means, what her vision means in that, or her dream means in that regard. Because you're right, all of her dreams so far have happened. But yeah, also, I also thought it meant Rhaenys with her literally coming through the ground.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that.
Rhaenys definitely should have Dracarysed their asses.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys thoughts on that, because in the moment, I was like, damn, this is fucking dope. But then I was thinking about it more and I was like, damn, it's not her war, but you just killed so many people. And
I know.
And you're going to cause, I mean, that's going to cause animosity with the common folk. And
she killed like thousands.
Yeah, she killed hundreds easily.
Many hundreds, if not over 1,000. There was a fuck ton of people in there.
And the director and writer even commented on this. And the writer says she doesn't do it because it's not her war. It's between them. Even though she comes out, she's wearing Targaryen red and black. Like she makes her stand. I feel like she's picking a side with that. And then also the writer said the rest of the casualties don't matter. The rest of the people don't matter because it's Game of Thrones. Civilians don't count. That was her quote. It's Game of Thrones. Civilians don't count.
So in Rhaenys is what? That was the whole problem with what happened in season 8 when Daenerys just started murking civilians.
Instead
of just going straight for Cersei.
Yeah, bro. I don't love that answer, to be honest with you, because in the books, with George R. R. Martin, at least one of his common themes is that no matter what happens with all these nobles, the small folk are the ones who end up getting the
paying the price.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a great answer in my mind. And it's not a great answer to me that, okay, so that's why she just doesn't murk them all right there. Because she goes immediately and flies to Rhaenyra and says, they're coming for you. That's like helping out. That's picking a side.
Yeah.
And you have grandkids who are going to be involved in this. Your line is going to be involved with this.
Also, in the BTS after the episode, Ryan Condal gave his take on that as well. And he said he didn't because he saw her mother to mother in the moment.
They did. But, the writers and directors said that too. I forgot to add
that. Okay, bro. What about all the fucking mothers you probably just killed in the coming up out of there? Think about all the people that are going to die because of the war.
Well, that would instantly start a war, but you'd pretty much effectively end it too, because you're going to kill. Yeah. You would have just killed three dragon riders right there. And
who's going to challenge that?
Yeah, exactly. Rhaenyra is next in line immediately. There's no debate after this. I mean, she already was. It's already, they're usurping the throne. They're traitors already. There's no actual proof that Viserys said this shit. For one, it's Alicent's word against everyone, and you're already planning to usurp the throne. They were plotting it. That's treason.
Also, that would have been a perfect time for Rhaenys to usurp the throne if she really wanted to.
Well, she just killed a bunch of people, man.
She's never been about that.
I know. That's true. But she did just kind of shit on Alicent for not wanting to play her own part. But maybe it's because she's loyal to Rhaenyra.
She's not loyal to Rhaenyra.
Rhaenys said that because she was trying to plant seeds inside of Alicent's head in order to divide the family. I think she was playing some kind of 3D, 4D.
Because everyone in that castle, 40, I don't know.
40 chess, baby.
Everyone in that castle was in a very, very difficult situation of having to put on airs for anyone that they thought could be an Alicent supporter or a Green supporter and not say anything to get yourself fucking killed because of how violent they were being about making sure alliances were formed.
Yeah, see, here's my other thing too with Rhaenys is that, okay, she's got you locked up in a castle. Your dragon is underneath there. If you don't agree to go to their side or pledge to their side, what is going to happen to you? You still have Otto who's scheming. He would totally scheme behind Alicent's back, I think. And
well, he already did.
Exactly. Against her too. I don't know if she knew about all that detail. I don't think she knows about any of that yet because they locked down everything that happened in the small council room. But that's one of the first moves. They're going to try to kill your dragon, I feel. That would be a move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So why would you then just be okay with, I'm not going to roast them, dude. They were going to totally do something against you, in my opinion. That is how you'd have to be thinking.
That's a good point, Zach. You're just in a life or death situation. Now you spare them. It's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did think it was in her character to not roast them.
Just because
that's fair. She's very queen. It was very queen-like moment saying, I could kill you all right now, but yeah,
I'm just gonna dip.
But fuck you.
Yeah.
That was a clean little move too when she shot between the doors. I did not think she was gonna fit, and then it was like, whoop, fuck.
In the moment, I liked the scene. It was more when I was coming after, and then I saw the director and writer's quotes, and I was like, wait a minute, come on. You guys couldn't have thought of a better reason to try to explain this one away? It felt like maybe, and this wasn't in the book either. This was not in the book. Maybe the people who wrote the book, Fire and Blood, since it's written by maesters, it's written by third-hand accounts, they could maybe not write about this. But this is a huge moment, and there'd be a lot of witnesses. How would this not be any accounts? Yeah. This is totally something that they added to the story to do a big moment.
That was something I didn't expect to happen. I thought she was going to slip away and
slip out the back and maybe make an entrance coming back in around, scare everyone out, then come in. And you could still do the scene. You could still make it menacing like that without even having to kill a bunch of people too.
Yeah.
That is a good point. Another entrance. There has to be another way out of the dragon pit.
Is there no way for dragon riders to call their dragon? They have to walk up to him, find him.
Mm.
Well, we saw the dragons had a bond with Beleriand where he would come. Right, go ahead, Zexer.
With the Drogon. Sorry.
Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah, not Beleriand. Fuck.
But you're right that some dragons seem like they do have a better connection, that they can sense when someone's in danger. Like Drogon came and saved Daenerys a few times. Yeah, there's some that do. It kind of depends on the rider. They all know. It seems like they all know if their rider dies, though, and if their rider is alive, because they can't bond to someone else until that rider is for sure dead. That's like book canon and show canon.
Yeah, I think there is definitely another entrance too, because in the first or second episode, I'm pretty sure Rhaenyra came around to the backside. Mm-hmm.
There's probably a few entrances, man. You got a lot of dragons. There's no way they're all coming out of one exit or anything.
Yeah. Fuck, I would have melted them. Just saying. I would have torched their asses.
Yeah. I did like what the actress said to Eve Best. She said, when Rhaenys wasn't picked in Harrenhal right at the beginning, her spirit wanted her to get on a dragon, burst through the ceiling and say, fuck you all. That was cool. That ties back to this moment now. That's what, 20 years difference there? 25 maybe?
Yeah. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. I was just going to comment on the point that you made. I think that's a really good point because this is the first book change that, whereas before this wasn't really an issue because they wouldn't have known Maesters, it wouldn't have been common knowledge for the Maesters to know about Aegon's dream. It wouldn't have been common knowledge for them to know about Laenor surviving still and running off.
Laenor was a big change too. Laenor had a lot of witnesses. It was at like a market with countless witnesses. Sorry, not countless, but there was just, it was accepted that he did die there and there wasn't fire involved. So there was a body. Corlys got the body. Corlys put out basically a hit for this guy to go get Sir Carl. It was more cemented in the book for sure.
Okay. Then that is a null point entirely. Shit.
Yeah, so they're just changing a lot of stuff with this family specifically.
Yeah.
But narratively, these are like the two pretty big changes so far. Laenor living and then this. This is for sure something new.
Yeah, I don't think I had anything else to say on that scene though, but it was pretty badass visually, obviously. It was sick. Mm-hmm. Visuals look pretty good.
Yeah, and damn, the way they did the special effects on it, making the whole, all the extras and filling out the stadium, the behind-the-scenes stuff on it was really impressive.
Shit, what else? We jump straight to the climax.
I'm trying to think. I mean, we can go back. It was a good episode, man. I liked what the whole thing of them looking for Aegon. I guess maybe the one thing was for me was it felt a little convenient that they just stumbled on Otto and all that. They're just sitting out in the open.
Yeah.
But I liked that scene. I liked even the fight.
No, they went and got him.
Kristen Cole and Aemon is who you're talking about, right? Stumbling upon Otto.
Yeah. Yeah, they stumbled on Otto and the Eric, whatever their names are, the brothers, the twins.
Oh,
Eric. I liked the duel that they had too on the stairs. Eric. That was cool. Aegon spitting in his one eye was funny as fuck.
Yeah.
Such a dick. even the building, the lore building, like it felt really brutal with that pit with all the kids. They introduced potentially what is going to be, what's that kid's name? Gaemon Palehair. That is one of Aegon's bastards. So Aegon in the book, he had two bastard kids that they know of. There for sure could have been more, but that possibly was Gaemon.
It sounds Palehair. Like there's way more than two, honestly.
Yeah, there
the way
they're
talking.
But if this is the one, if this is that character, this character plays a part going forward. It's a important character in the story.
Dude, that's fucked up too. They have little kid cockfighting rings.
Yeah, that's brutal as fuck. And see, another thing too, you have Masaria, whatever her name is, the white worm. She's saying, I just want you to shut this down, which is a common folk thing. And then you have the writer saying, no one gives a fuck.
Yeah, they're not going to do that, bro. I will remember. No. As soon as she agreed to that, I was like, yeah, you fucked up. You're giving away all your leverage and he is not going to do shit.
Rhaenyra might, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So what else we got here?
Why were they hiding him in under the fucking...
in the sept?
Altar. And how did they leave? He just wanted to stay there.
I don't know.
Probably hammered, bro. I mean, the actor behind the scenes says that his character is just always drunk. Has no interest in being king. You know who'd have loved that coronation was Joffrey, dude. He would have gone off. Joffrey Baratheon with all those people. He would have been losing his shit.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
No, okay. This is also what I was going to say. How do you think those moments are going to affect Aegon moving forward? Because we see that he's a reluctant king leading up to this point. But there are a few moments when he seems to be enjoying himself a little more than normally. Like that moment when thousands, possibly tens of thousands of people are all, you know, cheering for him. They are reacting positively to him becoming king. And him pumping the sword, just it seems like he's a little more into it. And I'm wondering if you guys think that's going to fill his head and is he going to become...
I think maybe because his biggest insecurity was that he didn't think his dad...
cared about him at all, didn't want him to be king, exactly. And then now he thinks, because his mom is he thinks his mom is being honest. His mom thinks she's being honest, apparently. So that probably changed his confidence alone. And yeah, man, when you have someone unhinged like this with no leash, who knows what happens, man?
Yeah.
I don't think he's straight up like Joffrey status, because Joffrey always craved power. And yeah, but it could be something like that, man. I mean, we've already seen how dark and disturbed this dude is.
Yeah, when they said he doesn't come to this street of silk because...
I mean, bro, I'm just saying, like, his intro as an adult was he was a rapist to start.
Yeah.
He's just not a good
dude. Fuck, he's already done so much shit. Yeah. I completely forgot about that, that casually raped somebody.
Yeah, man.
And so it like got swept under the rug. Fuck.
It's probably not the first one either. It didn't feel like that was the first situation.
Okay, a little break time for a quick word from our sponsors.
We can talk about the trailer. Did you guys watch the teaser for the finale?
Yes.
So it looks like we're going to get... Bro, I actually... This is another word that I've never said out loud. Vermithor. Vermithor. Is that it? Vermithor? Vermithor?
Vermithor, yeah.
Is it Vermithor?
Yeah.
That's how I've always heard it.
Vermithor.
You've heard someone say this.
V-E-R-M-I-T-H-O-R.
You've heard George R. Martin say this out loud?
Oh my God. It doesn't have to be George R. Martin. Okay.
When would this dragon... This dragon was never mentioned in Game of Thrones.
It's videos.
Yeah, let me know.
Which one's Vermithor, the absolutely massively huge one?
Yeah. Oh, that's Vhagar.
Well, Vhagar is the biggest dragon, but then this is the next biggest dragon in at this point in the story. Mm-hmm. This dragon's about 100 years old. Its last rider was Jaehaerys, and now he's essentially a wild dragon because no one has claimed him since. The one that you see Daemon whistling to and singing to in the trailer for the next episode. And it looks like in the book, at least, he has a beard. I don't know if they're going to do that.
Damn, yeah.
A bearded dragon.
This picture of him looks sick. He's got a whole mane of horns and shit.
Can a dragon rider choose a different dragon and just like abandon the old one? No,
so the thing with this dragon is that he was actually friendly with humans. He just never got claimed, and so he became technically wild. But he's just been living at Dragonstone.
Oh,
where there's other wild dragons, bro. So they're going to do, which is, I think is so sick. They're going to do the whole lore with people trying to claim these dragons, and some of them just get eaten trying to claim them. And dude, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. People just going out into the wild trying to get dragons. Cause that was a big thing in the books. I remember that people would just go up to fucking dragons and try to tame them
seed.
Yeah.
Bastards and other Targaryens in the lineage would try to do it.
And then get rid
of them. Sometimes. Just get eaten, man. Because these are wild dragons. Like, some of these have never been claimed. Some of them, there's some that they don't even actually know if they're necessarily connected directly to these Targaryen dragons, or if it goes back even several years to when they first came to Dragonstone. At least one, Cannibal.
Cannibal is old as fuck.
Cannibal, they don't know how old he is.
Still unconfirmed his size. Just saying, Zach.
He's not bigger than, okay, I read the book. I read up to this point with this dragon again. This dragon is the next biggest dragon after Vhagar.
Cannibal is? Okay.
No. Vermithor. Wait.
Vermithor. Okay.
Vermithor?
I've never heard this said by a writer of the show or George R. R. Martin.
Okay.
There's definitely an interview out there where he has. So I've never listened to the audiobook for Fire and Blood. So I don't know how it's supposed to be pronounced.
How about we just pronounce it how we want to pronounce it, because it's a fictional name, and when a character says that dragon's name next episode, then we can start pronouncing it that way.
We'll be confirmed. Okay, fine.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're going with Vermithor for now.
Not Batman. Vermithor.
That's the high Valyrian version.
Vermithor.
Yeah.
Vermithor.
Yeah, God. but another thing, this is totally unconfirmed or anything, but that one character who's with the white worm, she kind of looked like this dragon scene named Nettles in the book. But I don't know if that's how that would work at all. It could be changed.
Doesn't Nettles tame Cannibal?
Bro, I don't think anyone ends up... this could be a spoiler, but I don't think Cannibal gets tamed, man.
Okay. Nettles tames some kind of wild dragon, I'm pretty sure.
It doesn't have to be a wild one. There's still several that haven't been claimed even now. There's some that just live on Dragonstone. Vermithor, who hasn't been claimed by anyone yet since Jaehaerys.
Okay. Wait, according to Maester Gildane, she cannot be called pretty?
Yeah, well, dude, everything in Fire and Blood, the book, is very negative towards women. So it's hard to really take anything that they say. They were saying Rhaenyra got fat.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And that she wasn't beautiful anymore, and she's definitely a beautiful woman. They made Alicent seem like she's the worst person in the world, and this shows she's much more gray, and it's written by men. So it's hard to trust anything really said about women in it.
Yeah, and it's also written from the perspective of a maester as well. Somebody that lives in that time.
This is a good one for you because I tweeted this out last night. But okay, so this is an account from the maester who was at the table. His name is Grand Maester Orwile. Is that it? Orwile? O-R-W-Y-L-E. Yeah. His quote of what Alicent said is that, this is from Fire and Blood written, is that Aegon and his brothers are the king's trueborn sons with a better claim to the throne than her brood of bastards. One of these strongs put out Aemon's eye. Never forget, he was a boy, but bastards are monstrous by nature. That is what she said according to the book, according to his account. But it also was written that he was trying to come off necessarily as not as bad person as he was because of him, of his siding with this. And this was, but it was like a direct account from him.
Yeah.
Of what happened at that meeting with the Green, you know, when Beesbury dies.
Yeah.
It's never confirmed in the book because there was multiple accounts, but it just was like, yeah, he was basically the first big death in the Dance of the Dragons.
Beesbury?
Yeah. First casualty.
Yeah, he got fucked up.
Sir, and it was, two of the accounts were saying it was Sir Criston who killed him. One of them was that he got thrown out the door or the window. But another change actually from the book is the other guy, the Lord Commander, he wasn't alive anymore at this point in the story. So this is a change.
Oh, he wasn't?
Yeah, he was dead, long dead. So that's how even Sir Criston was already Lord Commander.
Shit, what is he going to do now? He's on his Barristan Selmy arc?
Oh, bro, he's going to... Yeah, I like that. Yeah. He's definitely going to go over to Rhaenyra. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can see that happening.
I'd have to do more research, but maybe he's taking a place of a different knight that comes to her side. There's a few knights that come over to Rhaenyra's side that are loyal to what Viserys wanted. But it seems like he's definitely going to be one. I mean, his scene was sick. He feels like a very underutilized character, to be honest, at this point in the story.
He's got a powerful ass beard, too. I respect him for that beard. He's rocking that
beard, bro, for real.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's him and Arik. Is it Arik and Eric?
No, dude. I never know.
That one gets me.
I think it's Arik and Eric. You say the same.
They both one's with an E and one's with an A. But yeah, Arik and Arik, right? But I don't know which one. I can't remember which one goes to which one was which, is what I mean.
I think it's Arik. The one with the A.
No arc. I want to understand why Kristen Cole is so devout to Alicent. Like, what did she do or say to him that made her Jesus to him?
I think he just hated Rhaenyra.
That much, though? I just still can't understand how he would hate her for so long.
He's an incel, dude.
Actually for real though.
The OG, man. He started that. Yeah. That was funny.
His whole life revolves around hating Rhaenyra.
Seriously, especially when he says quotes like, every woman is an image of the mother to be spoken of reverence. But then he says that same stuff about her. What a fucking hypocrite, dude. Absolute clown.
Yeah, didn't he call her a spoiled cunt like two episodes ago, yeah.
As she was carrying her baby bleeding out, he's saying that about her. Such a dick. Yeah, man. Maybe his play is he thinks he's going to smash Alicent at some point now that she's single.
Well, dude, what's his name? Lionel or...
Dude, you know what we were talking about was Larys' weird ass. Holy fuck, bro. They're having a weird off.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Larys, is he a foot fetish?
Absolutely, man.
I don't even understand why they put
this
that in.
This dude killed his whole family. Like,
just to make us hate him.
Jack off defeat. What a fucking loser.
He's like, you don't understand. I will do anything to see those feet.
Bro, he's an incel.
Absolutely, bro. Yeah. They're in a contest, those two.
Oh, Jesus Christ. He Aegon actually did, too, yeah.
She's surrounded by these fucking fools. Allison.
Killed immediate family members just to jack off to Allison's feet.
For feet pics, bro.
Yeah.
What a clown.
Yeah, you're right, dude. She's surrounded by
terrible men.
Not a good look.
Terrible people.
Yeah.
I guess it kind of makes sense that he have a foot fetish after he's got a messed up foot.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I didn't even think about that aspect. I mean, still doesn't justify his behavior, but if you have a foot fetish, that's fine. But the other shit.
Come on, dude. That scene was whack, bro. That also, I just need to add, well, that was not like in the book either.
Foot fetishes are fine if you're not like jacking off in front of people.
Yeah, if you're doing weird shit to get to it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Well, okay, that's all I'm saying. Like, I respect people's fetishes as long as...
I'll defend a foot fetish all day. I don't have one, but...
That's why I didn't say anything, because I was like, dude, if I say something, I feel like it's going to come off like I have a foot fetish.
I don't give a fuck. I'll defend.
All right, thanks, Luke. I appreciate
it. I got your back.
But, okay, this is what I was going to say about him outside of the foot fetish. So he definitely gave information to Otto, right? He's playing his side. He's playing both sides. He's not playing Allison's side.
No, bro, he's playing Allison's side, I think.
Well, because he gave information to Otto.
Feet picks if he doesn't do that.
But he can still play both sides as long as Allison doesn't find out.
He was just saying to Otto, hey, well, if this information benefits, it's like it's benefiting you too, what I'm doing, basically. Because Otto is supposed to be on her side. It felt like playing Otto and then going back behind Otto's back and saying to her, hey, yo, this is what he's doing.
I think he's playing both sides because he was propping up this network of webs that is spies that are spying on her. And then she brings up, oh, this person must be close to me. They must be watching me all the time. And then he avoids the question as in.
No, he didn't.
And then immediately, he never responded.
He told her.
He said something else.
He said it was your handmaid.
No. He looked down when she said that, didn't say anything for a while, and then he brought up the handmaid. He was like, oh, yeah, your handmaid is part of the network of spies.
Well, what are you
trying
to say?
That made me immediately think, like, he is the head of this web. He is the master of whispers or whatever. But he's trying to prop up somebody else. He's trying to prop up a straw man for her to attack instead of him.
But we already know that Otto has ties to this lady because of what happened with Daemon and Rhaenyra years ago.
Yeah, but is that a convenient connection for Strong to exploit?
Also, he locked all of those people up in the dungeon. You probably killed them all. Laris did. So if it wasn't,
I know that was fucked up too.
So why would it be his connections? They're not working for him. He's got his own spies and stuff.
I'm saying he's playing both sides. As long as Allison doesn't find out that he's playing both sides. He just has to seem like he's indisputably loyal to her, even though he's more loyal to himself, his own gain.
He's for sure most loyal to himself by what he said to Otto, and then he went behind Otto's back immediately after and said, hey, by the way, this lady is tied to her, who's tied to Otto. And then he went and burnt down that thing. I don't think he's playing really for Otto's side at all. I don't think he wants Otto to know that he's also behind this stuff.
Wait, also, what was that house that burned down? I couldn't tell.
That was where the white worm was.
Oh, wait, so she's dead now? Or just the house is burned?
They make it seem like she's dead. So in the book, too, this was a pretty definitive reason. Aegon felt a little more gray with why he ended up agreeing to become king was because when he first was presented about it, he said, my sister is the heir. What sort of brother steals his sister's birthright? That was what he said to Sir Criston Cole and Allison. And then Allison was only convinced to become king because Sir Criston said, Rhaenyra is going to execute you and all your brothers if she wishes her bastards to rule after her. And that was really why he then said, okay, I will be king, because he wanted to actually protect his family in that way. So it's a little different than what happened in this story and with the reasoning. So that's something new too then, is the Viserys saying this last whisper. That's another change from the book that we forgot to talk about, Ross.
Yeah.
That's different.
That is a pretty big change. That's a lie. Like, that's a lie, though. They're all lying to him. She would not kill him. She's shown nothing in her character that she would kill them if she came into power. She would probably, send them away or use them as political tools, marry them off.
In this version, it doesn't seem like. But the book version, she's a little bit more savage.
Yeah.
But also, Roz.
At least she's written.
It looks like she killed her husband in order to be with Damon, as far as everyone else knows.
And she clearly has bastard kids that everyone knows aren't her kids.
Yeah, bastard kids that everyone knows.
That's true. But even before that, they were saying that as well.
And another big thing that Otto said in the book when they had the Green Council meeting, he was leaning a lot into the fact that her husband is Damon. And you never know what Damon's going to do. He was saying, well, if she's not the one who makes the call, Damon will find a way to kill all of us. Because he would maybe want to be the one on the throne at that point.
Yeah, that's fair. Because in the back of my head, even when I brought up that point, I was thinking, well, Damon would.
Yeah, I think he's more than Loose Cannon. They didn't talk about Damon at all in this when they were talking about that situation. That would have even been another interesting point, I think, to bring up about Damon. Because he is a wild card.
He's pretty loyal to her, though. I think I think they work together decently.
Damon feels he's pretty loyal to her right now, but I mean, I don't know. Even like when he was going down and getting the dragon eggs, he's getting those eggs for his kids, for his line. And maybe, man, I mean, we don't know. He's still, you never know with this guy, you know?
Fair.
Yeah, he does seem like he really is loyal to her in this time right now, right? But when he gets into war mode, he's a little bit more unhinged for sure.
Yeah. Okay. I think the fucked up part mainly is, they're making all these presumptions about Rhaenyra and Daemon wanting to kill their kids while they're actively trying to kill all of them.
Well, that's their point. That's their justification for trying to
kill all of them. Yeah, but I'm saying that justification is wrong because it's a presumption. It's based off of mutually...
Allison's not trying to kill them all right now.
Yeah, Allison's
not. She's the one saying, we're not doing this. We're doing it my way. And we're going to tell Rhaenyra about this.
Yeah. And in the trailer for the next episode, it looks like, yeah, how you brought up earlier about there's probably going to be different factions on that side. It looked like it was definitely alluding to that in the trailer with Rhaenyra having to make a tough decision about whether she wanted to go to war or not. And there's definitely going to be people pushing her to go to war and people counseling against it for sure.
Yeah, and the trailer shows too. So this is a spoiler for sure. Everyone listening, skip ahead. The trailer for sure shows her sons going off to fight. And
yeah,
at that fight, you're seeing Vhagar and Aemon. So that is going to happen. We're going to get the Storm's End battle for sure next episode.
Let's go.
But that's it. That's the end of the spoiler right there.
Let's go, dude.
I'm hyped. Anything else, man? I'm like looking through my notes. I feel like we covered a lot of this shit, man. This is a good little pod.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We're 48 minutes-ish.
Season finale, man. I mean, this show, to me, feel like so far has lived up to the hype. The only, and even with talking about this Rhaenys scene, it's still, that's probably the only real questionable thing I've had this whole show where I'm like, oh yeah, that kind of was crazy. She just killed a bunch of people, but she didn't kill them, you know? So that's the only thing so far. The show's been pretty great.
Yeah.
And even that moment, it still was like a cool scene.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Could have ended the whole fucking war.
You know, it was cool though in the map. One thing that they showed, they had a little war dealy thing. I don't know what that is called. Little statue guy.
Yeah.
On Winterfell. So I was thinking maybe we get a Winterfell tease at the end of the season.
That could be cool.
Winterfell and the Stark season 2. That'd be kind of sick.
We did see the Stark guy at the Royal Hunt.
Yeah, but he's not going to be the Stark. He's going to be dead by this point.
He's not the Warden of the North anymore.
He won't be he's not the Lord. The Lord is a much younger Lord Stark, 20s. Sick. Yeah. So we're going to get all that for sure. That's and they're pretty involved in what's coming. Okay.
I'm excited.
So that's our House of the Dragon episode 9 podcast. Make sure to go leave us a rating review on Apple or Spotify. Follow us on Twitter @CultureCrave, @Thrones_facts, @CultureCravePod. We'll be back next week with one more podcast for the House of the Dragon finale.